This is Inform Your Resistance with Political Research Associates, or PRA. Tune in monthly to hear experts, researchers, journalists, academics, and movement strategists explain some of the most significant contemporary threats to democracy from the mainstream and far right. With Inform Your Resistance, we distill what you need to know most. I'm your host, Cokie Mendes, Communications Director here at PRA. Hello, IYR listeners. We are excited to announce a new 6-part Political Research Associates miniseries produced in partnership with Diaspora Alliance on the weaponization of antisemitism in today's United States. Lifting the Curtain on Antisemitism, hosted by PRA Senior Research Analyst Ben Lorber and Diaspora Alliance's Director of Pedagogy and Training, Shoshana Brown, explores the ways that antisemitism has become an essential tool of the U.S. far right and the Trump administration. Ben and Shoshana talk to experts who help us investigate antisemitism and its weaponization from various angles, from unpacking conspiracy theories to examining the conflation between antisemitism and criticism of Israel, to exploring how to confront antisemitism as left organizers. We hope to give you the tools to navigate current debates, understand the threats we face in our climate of rising authoritarianism, and inform your resistance from the U.S. to Israel, Palestine, and around the world. Subscribe today to our PRA Presents feed, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. There, you'll find our first 6-part miniseries, The Insurgent Sheriffs, produced in partnership with Quintero Productions, exploring the way that U.S. sheriffs have become an essential part of the far right. And episodes of Lifting the Curtain will be delivered directly to you on that feed when the miniseries launches later this summer. And now on to our regular programming. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, IYR listeners. We bring you Political Research Associates' 4th season of Inform Your Resistance during an unprecedented time of unpredictability and upheaval. And our mission in producing this podcast is clearer than ever. Over the next 12 months, we will release monthly episodes making sense of this moment. With over 40 years of in-depth and broad analysis of the U.S. far right, we have a trove of knowledge about the movements, actors, and ideologies fueling the Trump administration today. We will be interviewing experts and revisiting published articles from our archive on the various sectors of the right that hold power in coalition with the Trump administration, identifying importantly where these sectors are at odds with one another, and thus present opportunities for disruption, schism, and ultimately resistance. Today, we're featuring a recent piece of definitional analysis published in the winter-spring 2025 double issue of the Public Eye magazine. In this article, PRA senior research analyst Annie Wilkinson presents a core feature of authoritarianism that underpins PRA's understanding of this broad category of undemocratic centralized governance. Before I begin, PRA bases our work on the following definition of authoritarianism, borrowed and paraphrased from political scientist Juan Linz. Authoritarianism is a political system that limits pluralism, the number and power of opposition or alternative parties and organizations, and concentrates power in a single leader or sometimes a small group. This is in opposition to totalitarianism, which attempts to eliminate, absorb, or control all other power centers. Authoritarianism can be ideologically flexible and may or may not mobilize or continue to mobilize a popular base. Its 4 key elements are 1, limited pluralism, with particular restraints on the power of the legislature, the courts, political parties, and interest groups. 2, bases its legitimacy on appeals to emotion and identifies with fighting obvious, often vague, quote, evils. 3, minimal political mobilization and suppression of opposition. And 4, ill-defined powers that can be exploited by the executive. With that definition in hand, I present Gender and Authoritarianism, A Framework for Analysis and Action, published April 2nd, 2025, and written by Annie Wilkinson. Two weeks before the 2024 election, Tucker Carlson, whose documentary The End of Men laments the persecution of men, spoke at a Turning Point rally for Donald Trump, after describing a nation degraded and feminized by woke culture and democratic leadership, Carlson cast Trump as a strongman who would restore law and order with a, quote, vigorous spanking, end quote, personifying the U.S. as a teenage girl requiring her patriarch's dutiful discipline. The audience enthusiastically chanted, "Daddy Don," in response to this promise of, quote, patriarchal restoration, end quote. Days later, Trump delivered on this portrayal, promising at a campaign rally to, quote, protect women, whether they like it or not, end quote. Trump's and Carlson's statements could be construed as a campaign tactic that uses the dysfunctional family trope as a dog whistle for the culturally and economically downtrodden male and appeals to patriarchal norms. But they also illustrate the importance of gender, cis-heteropatriarchy, and misogyny to authoritarian politics. Gendered power inheres in authoritarianism. Contemporary authoritarians everywhere, from Texas to Turkey to Tel Aviv, mobilize misogyny to consolidate their power by reinforcing gendered hierarchies led by cis men and rewarded female loyalists, while preserving racialized economic and geopolitical hierarchical orders. They also weaponize gender politics and the gender domination that animates it as a, quote, core mechanism of democratic erosion, end quote. Countering authoritarianism in the U.S. and globally thus requires a framework for analyzing and understanding the centrality of gender and the anti-gender campaigns that mobilize it to authoritarian politics. This analysis also reveals the power of a robust gender justice front in pro-democracy efforts. Authoritarianism's global acceleration. The world is witnessing a wave of autocratization as established authoritarians consolidate power and anti-democratic movements challenge the liberal democracies from which they have emerged. Anti-gender movements have played a pivotal role in this process. As a political system characterized by power concentrated in a single leader, or a few, most often men, authoritarianism is maintained through limited tolerance of contestations to that power, whether from political rivals, dissidents, democratic social movements, or liberatory ideas, like the assertion that gender inequality is not inevitable. Many of the world's recently emerged autocrats have captured and consolidated power from within liberal democracies by employing tactics that exploit these societies' features. Like their global and historical counterparts, authoritarian actors in the U.S. have bent the electoral system to their favor, injected widespread myths and disinformation into political discourse, captured and weakened judicial independence, and encouraged the gradual erosion of democratic institutions and will. Their formula also includes attacking the media, curtailing access to information via attacks on public school curricula, higher education, books, and public libraries, cracking down on civil society, and weakening the independence of civil institutions. At the same time, they aggrandize executive power, including at the state level, and weaponize the state apparatus to punish or eliminate political rivals and expand carceral systems. Over the past few years, states under GOP control have acted as, quote, laboratories of autocracy, end quote, to test, modify, and replicate policies that advance in anti-gender politics, seeking to match their counterparts' successes in consolidating enclaves of authoritarian control within the U.S. This uneven authoritarian capture has resulted in a well-entrenched system of subnational or federated authoritarianism, in which, quote, some states remain committed to inherited forms of democratic liberalism, while others cling to, or develop, or resurrect patterns of illiberal authoritarianism, end quote. After capturing the Republican Party, the Supreme Court, and trifectas in nearly half of U.S. states, the MAGA-led authoritarian coalition has consolidated its control over the federal government with Project 2025 as the blueprint. As this process of autocratization accelerates, the dismantling of democracy will become difficult to hold back. Contemporary authoritarians use demographic identity to sow division, enabling their takeover of state power. Their base-building strategies often combine economic populist rhetoric with racialized and gendered resentment politics that tap into and exacerbate social and economic anxieties. This frequently involves ethno-nationalist fear-mongering that mobilizes latent and blatant forms of racism to frame racialized others as outsider threats. Trump has done this, for instance, by labeling immigrants as invaders and promising the sentimental restoration of national glory and stability, including via an idealized gendered order. Rooted in the cis-heteropatriarchal family. Authoritarian regimes and movements often deploy gendered power in two key interrelated ways. They mobilize misogyny to capture power, and they consolidate and maintain it by exercising control over sex, gender, sexuality, and reproduction. One fundamental way that authoritarians mobilize gender stems from the challenge they face in justifying their exceptional power. When authoritarians subvert the consent of the governed, they must legitimate their authority by other means. This is done by activating another source of authority deeply ingrained in most societies, the cis-heteropatriarchal family. In the U.S., this manifests in the implicit, though elusive, ideal of the white Christian nuclear family. In this normative unit, women are relegated to biological and social reproductive roles, and men serve as provider and protector while regulating women's sexuality and reproduction. A strict gender binary and hierarchy anchors men's exercise of authority and dominion over women and children while providing a permission structure for exceptional male behavior, enabling authoritarians like Trump to be found liable for sexual abuse, roll back gender equality, and spew misogynistic rhetoric without imperiling their legitimacy. Those who resist this arrangement are, like Tucker Carlson suggested, disciplined through punishment within the family and criminalization by the state. Such control over female bodies and persecution of LGBTQ individuals is, as Ruth Ben-Ghiat points out, a, quote, through line of authoritarianism, end quote, and the core message of the all-male chorus of, quote, your body, my choice, end quote, in the wake of Trump's 2024 election. Treated as essential and natural, religious traditionalists like the Holy See and the U.S. Christian Rite also claim that this arrangement is divinely ordained and thus morally just. This model of naturalized cis-heteropatriarchy, especially when framed as the, quote, basic unit of society, end quote, and the nation, is used to justify the necessity of a strong man who, as its patriarch, is empowered to exercise dominion over the national family, including through sanctioned violence like spanking. But it is only those who spank their daughters who find the justification of patriarchal discipline compelling. Research shows that support for group-based hierarchies and inequality as the natural order, a, quote, social dominance orientation, end quote, correlates with an endorsement of hegemonic traditional masculinity and right-wing authoritarian belief systems, which in turn predicts misogyny and attitudes towards transgender and non-binary people. Authoritarians draw on these perverse beliefs to justify their exercise of control over others, including those who don't conform to this order, like queer and transgender people who are marked for marginalization or eradication from public life. The idea that gender is not fixed or natural order threatens to append the logical underpinnings of authoritarian power. Denial that gender is multiple and distinct from sex is a universal feature of anti-gender campaigns and the impetus behind Trump's campaign promise to, quote, defeat the toxic poison of gender ideology and reaffirm that God created two genders, that underwrote his day one executive order declaring that the U.S. will only recognize two sexes, male and female. Weaponizing gender equality to consolidate power. Authoritarian leaders may paradoxically draw on these same imaginaries to engage in the tactics of, quote, autocratic gender washing, end quote, or its counterpart of Israeli innovation, pink washing, by adopting limited LGBT rights or gender equality reforms to enhance their domestic and/or international legitimacy, and deflect criticism of their rights violations or autocratic behavior, forestalling democratization pressures and shoring up the stability of their regime. Gender quotas are a common tactic. They may also endorse international gender equality initiatives, even while pulling out of international agreements combating violence against women or forged strategic alliances with anti-trans feminists. Such tactics reinforce rather than challenge the gender essentialism that grounds cis-heteropatriarchy and authoritarian power structures. The authoritarian family script also orders people and power by race and nation as it intersects with gender. In the U.S. and much of Europe, this manifests as white and or Christian ethno-nationalist projects, for example, in Trump's smearing of Mexican immigrants as rapists who are, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, end quote. Similar dynamics manifest in the Hindu, Buddhist, and Jewish ethno-nationalist claims of India's Narendra Modi, Myanmar's junta head Min Aung Hlaing, and Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu, respectively. Leaders who have incited ethnic cleansing and or genocide against populations by fueling moral panics that portray the women of the dominant group as sexually threatened. Anti-gender politics define contemporary authoritarianism. Authoritarians have learned from each other that, whatever their personal ideological commitments, they can strategically instrumentalize others' fidelity to the traditionalist politics of gender and sexuality. These transactional authoritarians stoke and ride the wave of moral panic to greater power. Vladimir Putin, for example, initially relied on gender equality rhetoric in the early stages of his authoritarian power grab, before finding greater traction as a global innovator of anti-gender campaigns. In 2013, he banned so-called LGBT, quote, propaganda, end quote, a tactic adopted by Ron DeSantis in Florida a decade later, before more recently criminalizing LGBT activists as terrorists and banning, quote, child-free propaganda, a policy intended to compel Russian women to have more children. Advised by those like American Principles Project's Terry Schilling, who found in 2020 that anti-trans messaging promised significant potential to mobilize Republican voters, Trump pivoted from his 2012 position supporting transgender women in his pageants and promising LGBT Americans that he, quote, will fight for, end quote, them in 2016, to centering anti-trans politics in his 2024 campaign, which he opened by promising to end, quote, transgender insanity, end quote, and closed with a blitz of attack ads scapegoating transgender people as enemies within. Authoritarian populist leaders and movements have adapted anti-gender campaigns as a modular tool in diverse contexts around the world. What anti-gender politics offers them is a unifying framework or, quote, symbolic glue, end quote, that coheres political coalitions across issues, sectors, and geopolitical blocs, redirecting status anxieties conditioned by neoliberal globalization onto scapegoats crafted as existential threats. Most anti-gender movement actors have cast so-called, quote, gender ideology, end quote, as their primary villain, while some deploy variations like, quote, wokeism, end quote, in DeSantis, Florida, a term Argentina's authoritarian president Javier Milei recently resurrected at the 2025 World Economic Forum. Democratic resistance and gender justice. As authoritarian leaders turn to gendered hierarchies to justify and consolidate their power at the expense of women, queer, and trans people, and other marginalized social groups, diverse feminist movements have fought back. These movements have played key roles in resisting autocratization globally, insisting upon respect for the democratic norms and institutions that undergird their demands for gender justice. Recent examples include Myanmar's Women-Led Front, which mobilized against the 2021 coup, Argentina's Green Wave mobilizations, which helped secure the decriminalization of abortion in 2020, Mexico's Women's Strike to protest the epidemic of femicides pervading Mexico with impunity, and the U.S. Women's March of 2017, the largest single-day protest in U.S. history, which brought millions to the streets to register dissent against MAGA's anti-democratic threat. This pattern repeats from Poland to Tunisia and beyond. If authoritarian leaders in their base frequently disparage and repress women, femme, and queer-led movements, it is because they too recognize the power of a pro-democracy feminist front in confronting and undermining their power. Authoritarians have a, quote, strategic reason to be sexist, end quote, as researchers Zoe Marks and Erica Chenoweth put it, because they know that, quote, when women participate in mass movements, those movements are both more likely to succeed and more likely to lead to more egalitarian democracy, end quote. To effectively resist authoritarianism, we must understand its gendered roots and cultivate a robust and intersectional front for gender justice. Only then can we achieve a more just and equitable future for all. Annie Wilkinson is a senior research analyst here at PRA. Annie's work focuses on transnational anti-gender movements, myths and disinformation, conspiracy theories, and authoritarianism. To read this and many other relevant articles, please visit politicalresearch.org. Thank you for listening to Inform Your Resistance with PRA. Today's episode was hosted by me, Cokie Mendes. The podcast is produced and fact-checked by me and Olivia Lawrence-Weilman. Jack Gieskind created our show notes and Frank Lawrence our music. Sound design and mixing by Thick Skin Media. If you haven't already, rate, review, and subscribe. If you appreciate our work, please consider donating to Political Research Associates at politicalresearch.org. And the best thing you can do to help us is tell your comrades about the pod. Resisting authoritarianism is better with friends. Until next time.